In the picturesque town of Ponderosa Springs, nestled in the Cascade Mountains, darkness lurks beneath the postcard-perfect facade. For 10 years, Silas Hawthorne lived with a schizophrenia diagnosis that defined his existence, a label that followed him through whispers in high school hallways and polite rejections from employers. When his therapist reveals this diagnosis was fabricated to discredit him after witnessing something horrific as a child, Silas feels only grim acceptance. The town's elite, including the influential Blackwood family, will protect their interests at any cost. "It has always been better to remain quiet than risk speaking words no one believes," he reflects, a philosophy that has built impenetrable walls around his heart. Meanwhile, Coraline Whitaker struggles with her own demons. 2 years after escaping 6 months of captivity in an abandoned cabin where her kidnapper Stephen Sinclair renamed her Cersei, she remains trapped in a mental prison. Food has no taste, her bed feels too soft, and simple tasks trigger debilitating panic attacks. In a moment of desperation, she reaches out to Silas, another soul marked by the town's darkness. Their connection forms through mutual recognition of similar scars, two survivors finding solace in shared understanding rather than pity. Just as Silas establishes some normalcy, managing his father's technology company while supporting him through chemotherapy, an encrypted video shatters his peace. The footage shows Silas and his friends, Alistair, Rook, and Thatcher, disposing of a body with the threat, "I'm not finished with you four. Time to come home, boys." Meanwhile, Coraline receives a disturbing text, "Did you miss me?" Her fears materialize when Stephen Sinclair escapes prison. Adding pressure, Silas learns that becoming CEO of Hawthorne Technology after his father's passing requires him to be married. In panic, he lies, "I have a girlfriend." Simultaneously, Coraline discovers Stephen has been grooming her younger sister, Lilac, online. Their crises converge at Coraline's art exhibition benefiting trafficking survivors. When Silas's business rival exposes his marriage lie, Coraline unexpectedly claims to be his fiancée. This impulsive act becomes the catalyst for a life-changing proposition, a marriage of convenience that might save them both. Outside Coraline's studio, Silas reveals his burden, his dying father, and the need to marry to secure the family company. Coraline initially hesitates, warning about her curse of hurting those close to her. When Stephen's threats against Lilac escalate to explicit violence, her protective instincts take over. Their marriage contract is precise: 2 years, separate bedrooms, no intimacy, though they must appear in love publicly. Coraline repeatedly cautions, "I hurt people who care about me." Silas adds a crucial clause, his protection of Lilac should anything happen to Coraline. This business arrangement begins shifting unexpectedly. During a power outage in an elevator, Coraline's claustrophobia erupts. Silas pulls her close, weaving a fictional story about their first meeting so vivid that her panic subsides as she leans into him. Their courthouse wedding transcends formality. When asked for vows, Silas speaks of his fear of losing his father and growing need to protect Coraline beyond their agreement. Their supposedly perfunctory piss ignites with unexpected passion. When Coraline's apartment is vandalized, Silas's protective instincts turn violent. He confronts her while drinking bourbon, admitting without remorse that he killed the man responsible. Rather than being repulsed, Coraline is drawn to this darkness. During an intense encounter, Silas gives her his gun, the murder weapon, allowing her to hold it against his head while he pleasures her, giving her control while keeping her present instead of dissociating. "You're my wife, Coraline Hawthorne. If I want to cover myself in the blood of 1,000 more men to protect you, I will." As they grow closer, both reveal their darkest secrets. Silas shares that at 12, he discovered his psychiatrist abusing a girl named Rosemary. When he tried to help, he was sedated and falsely diagnosed with schizophrenia, his parents believing the doctor over him. Years later, he reconnected with 15-year-old Rosemary, bonding through their shared trauma. This revelation transforms their relationship. Coraline sees him not as damaged, but as someone who suffered injustice while protecting others. She offers support, and Silas realizes she isn't a curse, but a fucking gift. Coraline visits Rosemary's grave with pink carnations symbolizing gratitude. Though they never met, she feels connected through Silas and vows to protect Rosemary's legacy. When Rosemary's twin Sage appears, she advises, "Let him in," assuring Coraline she isn't replacing her sister, but creating something new with Silas. On their wedding day, Silas immediately senses Coraline's disappearance. He reveals she's gone to Stephen, sacrificing herself to protect everyone, and that the nipple rings he gave her contain tracking microchips. Facing Stephen while bound, Coraline feels no fear. She's no longer the naive girl from the basement. Silas bursts in and attacks Stephen, strangling him while forcing him to witness Coraline one final time. Their victory is cut short when Stephen's son Easton appears seeking revenge. Despite Silas acknowledging Easton's justified anger while urging against violence, Easton shoots Silas in the chest. As Silas bleeds in Coraline's arms, his consciousness fades to memories of their childhood pact. In what seems like the afterlife, Silas meets Rosemary in a field of wildflowers. She absolves him of guilt over her death and asks if he'll carry her one last time, giving him the goodbye he never had. Silas agrees while feeling pulled back to Coraline, determined to be her curse breaker. 3 months later, Coraline's life has transformed. She manages her household with Lilac, now closer than ever to Silas. After sending Lilac to school, Coraline shows Silas her latest painting, titled Curse Breaker, a perfect likeness of him. She reflects on how his survival during surgery proved she wasn't cursed after all. In a tender moment, Coraline reveals she's pregnant. Silas reflects on how she has given him everything he never thought he'd have, a family and unconditional love. Unlike with Rosemary, he chose Coraline from the start. He commits to choosing her every day, believing their love is inevitable, even in death. What elevates Silas and Coraline's story is its raw honesty about healing. They never try to fix each other, instead creating safe spaces for growth while accepting that some wounds will always leave traces. Their love provides solid ground for building a future where their troubled pasts don't determine their story. In choosing each other daily, with full knowledge of every shadow they harbor, they show that love means embracing another's complete, complex reality rather than seeking perfection. Their journey reveals how trauma can both destroy and create, and how vulnerability becomes strength when shared with someone who sees your darkness and stays. Their oath becomes a promise to witness each other's pain without looking away, to protect without suffocating, and to love unconditionally. Their story reminds us that our deepest connections often form because of our scars, when we find someone brave enough to trace them gently and stay.